Hot Business on Hot 102.7 with Jeremy Maggs and MoneyWeb.
Now, South Africa's quick service restaurant sector is navigating a challenging landscape. It's marked by rising food prices. I think consumer habits are starting to evolve, and obviously there is heightened competition. And in spite of showing resilience, the industry is facing mounting pressure, and here's the tough one, to balance affordability, innovation, and customer satisfaction. So I thought it might be useful tonight just to discuss in brief the state of the industry and its future. And she has been a guest on our program before from the Restaurant Collective. Grace Harding, good evening to you and welcome. So maybe the starting point here is, how is South Africa's economic climate impacting the QSR industry? Are things getting tougher?
Well, remember, QSR is takeaway, and the Restaurant Collective, the majority of our focus is sit down, but there definitely is a blurring of the lines. Things are tough. The economy, of course, has impacted many industries, and since COVID, there's been some recovery. There is still growth, but there are pockets of the country that are definitely struggling. And what it's forcing is the business models to be reviewed. So what happened during COVID is everyone basically just clamped down on costs. So now we're moving into a more positive way of looking at efficiencies. So reducing menus, looking at how we work with efficient staffing, looking at how we procure better. So of course it's tough, and I mean, the article is right, but at the end of the article, it also says that people still want to eat out. So QSR, sit down, quick casual industry, people will still want a treat. It's about being more selective, and for us to be able to offer them something that's of value to them.
So adaptation, Grace, is critical, as you've just said, but I wonder to myself whether the industry is moving quick enough in that respect, or are we just going to see casualties along the way?
I think it's both and. I can see from some of the sit-down restaurants and from experience even at Ocean Basket, there's massive opportunity for growth. I think in KZN, and then this year and the first few months of next year, I think we're going to be opening about 8 restaurants. And KZN sort of 2 years ago was a war zone, and there's all sorts of other challenges. So it's both and. Does the restaurant industry move quick enough? I think from my experience, we have been slower than other industries. The QSR market is a little faster because it's less complex in terms of not having to have freshly prepared food all the time, or systems and mechanisms can work much easier. I mean, if you look at the McDonald's and Burger King's and those places, everything happens automatically. You're basically pressing buttons and taking food off when it's beeping. So we do have a way to go. Will we catch up? Yes. Is it going to be easy? No, it isn't. And because it's still a treat, we're operating in a very different environment, because now there are supermarkets that offer, let's say, frozen meals or ready-made meals. So we've got to become cleverer at saying, well, what makes it better, or what makes your decision different to not just cook up that frozen meal all the time? And the customer won't. Going out is a treat. Ordering from anything, from a KFC or a Debonair's or whatever, it's a treat. It's not a necessity. I don't do it because I'm hungry.
Grace, you talk about the importance of bringing more efficiency into the entire sector. And the one thing you spoke about a little earlier was redesigning, recalibrating menus. How difficult is that for a restaurant without losing the secret sauce, the appeal as to why people go there in the first place? But you've also got to balance cost and profitability on the other hand.
This is where data comes in. So the starting point, and if we look at the one-man bands, the people who don't have the big infrastructures, those are the people who the Restaurant Collective wants to support. Because if you look at your data, very, very often, 80% of your sales does come from 20% of your menu mix. So a lot of the time when we're afraid to remove things, it's just because today maybe 2 customers asked for it. Secondly, it's also about cross-utilization. So maybe you have a core range of ingredients, and instead of that core range producing 20 items, why don't you produce 14 or 13 items, and then you don't lose out. So if you truly analyze what are your secret sources, you're going to get 5 or 6 things, and you can do a lot with that. And consumers are exhausted with choice. They really, really are. The simpler you make things, the easier it is to shop. We all know that.
But it can be very risky for a restaurant, because there's an old saying in the writing and the advertising industry, and you know this, about having the courage to kill your darlings. And sometimes you might have to cut an item because of efficiency and cost, but it might be something which really finds resonance with a diner.
Look, in my experience, and I've been in this industry, I think, 13 years now, I've never, ever seen a customer get up and walk out because something has been cut. Because it's all about, well, this thing, we know you loved it, but we have this thing as well. And it's not about cutting it completely. What is the flavor in that meal that people love? Or is there a texture that that person loves? No one is going to get up and leave your restaurant and never come back because you removed something. They're going to get up and not come back because you upset them. So a lot of our fears, I think, we live with, and they are self-inflicted. Let's work with data and let's give things a chance.
Grace, I understand the importance of quality, of innovation, of convenience and experience, but fundamentally, isn't it always going to come down to price? Is that not the key determinant?
All the research I've done and all the years of being alive, we all know that consumers, when they say this thing is expensive, it's not about the price. There is no way that people can evaluate a number without attaching all the contributing factors to it. It's just, it doesn't work that way. And when research is done on why do you choose a restaurant or why do you leave a restaurant, the number one thing is always service, food, service, food. So it's all about, in the perception of each consumer category or demographic, what does value for money look like to me? And price alone is meaningless, because in the brain, it doesn't exist in isolation. It exists with a whole bunch of experiences from the plate and the server. So if you sit down to a meal that costs 250 Rand and the waiter's got a torn T-shirt and the floor is dirty and the food can be fantastic, it's not going to be great value for money. Price doesn't live alone.
Grace Harding, I'm sure we'll catch up again. From the Restaurant Collective, thank you very much for joining me.
Heart Business on Heart 1027 with MoneyWeb.